We open our Bibles this morning in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk, chapter 3, commencing to read at verse number 1. Habakkuk 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Sigonoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hands, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw it, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. And when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Amen. We know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible word for his name's sake. And just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word that is now upon this pulpit, and I pray that you'll help us to meditate upon it. Help us, our God, to be blessed in our souls as we think of what thou, the Lord, has said to Habakkuk. Help us, our God, to be challenged in our hearts. Help us to go out from thy house today, not the same people as we came in. For those who are unsaved, they might go out saved by the grace of God. Those that are cold in heart and rebellious in heart, wandered away from thee, we pray in Jesus' name, O God, break them in thy presence and bring them back to their first love. And O Father, we pray in the Savior's name that thou will challenge each one of your children. Help us, our God, our Father, to be like Habakkuk, who was quiet and still before God, or like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus there, just listening, and having loved the Savior and listened to his word. We thank thee that you learned from him and then went forth to labor for him. Help us, our God, to love thee more. Help us to listen to thee as thou didst speak. Help us to learn from thee what thou didst say. And then in thy name, help us to go out and labor from the dawn to the setting sun. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're coming to the concluding part of this book of Habakkuk, and as we have looked at this third chapter last Lord's Day morning, we noticed in this third chapter, first of all, Habakkuk's supplication. He was a man that had a broken heart. He was a man that supplicated before the throne of God, having been broken in God's presence. It says indeed in the verse number 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid. And he was a man that certainly was not indifferent to the need of the hour. Having heard what God was going to do and how God was going to move, he supplicates before the throne of God and asks God just to come and revive his work in the midst of the years. We noticed last Lord's Day morning very quickly that he was broken, being confronted by God's word. You see, God spoke to him, God revealed to him that he was moving, and God revealed how he was going to move. And therefore he was, when he listened to that and he was confronted by God's word, he trembled in the presence of the Lord. Adam heard the word of God, and when he heard God's voice, he ran from God. When Habakkuk hears the word of God, he runs to God. Because it says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, upon Sigonoth, O Lord, I heard thy speech and was afraid. And then secondly, we notice he was not only broken being confronted by God's word, he was broken being concerned about God's work. He now knows that God is working, and God will work, and God's going to continue to work, and he knows how God is going to work. And as he prays here, he says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In other words, he knows that God is achieving the purpose that he has set out for Judah, and that God is going to purify Judah through his working, even through using the instruments of this wicked nation of the Chaldeans and the people of Babylon. And he cries unto God, and he says, O God, I know that thou art working. And he says, Lord, keep this work going. Aye, that changed his heart. His heart has been changed in the presence of God. And he says, O God, revive thy work. He knows what that means. God says the work he's going to do. And he says, O God, through it, Lord, revive thy work. And Lord, let it be known, Lord, that this is thy work. Because he said, in the midst of the years, make known, O God in wrath, remember mercy. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. God, let it be known that this is thy work. And friend, we need a work of God. We need God to work. We need a God to work in our hearts that we might see a gracious revival of the Spirit of God in our own souls. And every child of God in this meeting this morning realizes that they need the Spirit of revival. They need God to work. This is God's mighty work of revival. Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead and make the people hear. And then thirdly, he was broken being convinced of God's wrath. Notice what he says. He says, in the midst of the years, O God, make known. He says, in wrath, remember mercy. He knew that God was stepping forth in judgment, friend. And deep in Habakkuk's heart, he knew that Judah was going to be judged for her sin. But he also knew something else. He knew that Judah deserved to be judged for her sin. And he said, O God, this is thy work. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, O God, remember mercy. You see, in the previous chapter, God gives us the five woes, and we have studied those. And you'll remember that all the woes against the sins of the nation of Babylon. Let me tell you, friend, Habakkuk knew that all of those sins were also in Judah. And all the things that God says, I'm going to judge Babylon for, deep in Habakkuk's heart, he knew that those sins were a reality in the nation of Judah, and that God would have to judge her for her sin. But he cries out, O God, in wrath, yes, judgment's coming, but O God, in wrath, please remember mercy. You know, not only did he know that Babylon was a sinful nation and God said there's woes upon her, but he also knew that Judah was a sinful nation. That's why judgment was coming.
And friend, it is so easy to point the finger at the sins of others, isn't it? Without acknowledging the sin of our own heart. And I believe that Habakkuk here was acknowledging that just as the sins of Babylon would bring the judgment of God, so the sins of Judah was bringing the judgment of God. And he cried out to God this. He says, O God in wrath. He knew that wrath was coming. And friend, he knew there was something else. He knew there was nothing he could do about it. He knew nothing would change the fact that wrath was coming. And that God was rising and raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation that would march through the breadth of the land of Judah and possess the dwelling places that were not theirs, and that they would be terrible and they would be dreadful, and their judgment and their dignity would proceed of themselves. And he knew that wrath was coming through the instrumentality of this wicked nation, and he knew he couldn't stop it. And this is his prayer. He says, O God in wrath, please, Lord, remember mercy. And friend, as we look at our nation and we look at the United Kingdom and we look at this wee province of Ulster that has been so richly blessed with the gospel, and yet we must confess the Sabbath morning that our nation is consumed by sin. Sin is on every hand, every expression of the wickedness of man's heart is evil, and it is before our eyes. And God, as he looks upon our land, has sees a land that is blessed, but a land that has sinned grievously against him. And wrath is coming. Make no mistake about it. God will judge the nation. God has judged the nation. Yes, and God can raise up a wicked and an evil nation to be the instrument of his wrath. When a nation will not humble itself before the Lord. And friend, to be honest before God, you and I will not be able to stop that judgment coming. What do? We say, God, this land deserves wrath. A nation that has forsaken thee, a nation that has turned its back on thee, a nation that is grievously sinning against thee. And every imagination of the heart of our people are only evil continually. And when God looked upon the old world, it grieved the Lord that he had made man. For God was sick of their sin. Let me say this, my friend. When you look at the sin of our nation, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And the sin of Noah's day, it grieved the heart that he had made man. And as God looks at the heart of our nation, does it not grieve God? And wrath's coming. But people don't think it, do they? You see, Habakkuk was a man in touch with God. But the nation, they knew nothing of this. Yes, there were faithful servants. Habakkuk was a faithful prophet. Jeremiah was a faithful prophet. Isaiah was a faithful servant of God in his day and generation. And these people warned, these people told them a judgment was coming because of their sin, but the people didn't want to hear. And the truth is today, people do not want to hear that the judgment of God will come upon man's sin. And instead of not wanting to hear, all they want to do is just get to their sin quicker and quicker. They just want to get deeper and deeper into their sin and the enjoyment of the lust of the flesh and the eye. They want to please themselves and have no fear of God before their eyes. Habakkuk's in touch with God, and he realizes this, as sure as night follows day, God's wrath follows
sin.
Be not deceived, for God is not mocked.
But whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Habakkuk cries to God and he says, O God, the nation deserves punishment. And the nation deserves wrath, and wrath's coming, but please God, in the midst of the years, make known, please God, in your wrath, please remember mercy. And friend, before God, I fear what God is going to do to this nation that is so rebellious against Him. Because judgment follows sin. And he says, well, God, in wrath, remember mercy. Please, Lord, sanctify the dark experience that's coming, because it's going to come. But God, draw your erring people back to yourself. Remember mercy. Draw them back to yourself.
Lord, help this experience not to be lost, but oh God, may the experience, the dark experience that they're going through, may it be the means of purifying them. Oh God, as you put them in the crucible, and as the fire goes underneath the crucible, and oh God, as it heats the gold and the silver, oh God, purify the hearts of the people. He says, oh God, I heard your word. And he said, I was afraid. I said, oh God, please. Please remember mercy. I want to tell you, God answered his prayer. And God brought the nation through, friend, in 70 years of captivity after they were passed. The nation was restored to the land and the temple was rebuilt. Because the purpose of God was not to destroy the nation. The purpose of God was to discipline the nation. Because he loved Judah. Now they deserve to be destroyed. But the purpose of God in this action here was not their destruction. It was their discipline. Tell me, do you have a heart that's broken this morning? When you hear what God can do to a nation, friend, how God can bring a people down, does that break your heart? I was just thinking, turn back with me please to the book of Exodus chapter 32. And in Exodus chapter 32, come with me please to verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, this is God speaking to Moses. He says, now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now here was Moses' opportunity, friend, to become a great nation. And God says, listen, I want you to leave me alone, and I want my wrath to be so hot against the people here. God says, I will consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. What an opportunity. If you're concerned about your glory, the glory of yourself. Verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abram, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants.
to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Let me tell you, my friend, Moses said, Lord, no. I'm not concerned by my glory. I'm concerned about thy glory. And I don't care whether I'm anything or whether I'm not, but oh God, I want you this. Please, God, don't consume them. Don't destroy them. Please, God, in wrath, remember mercy. Moses, a heart for the glory of God, friend. His heart was burdened for the glory of God. Turn to the book of Numbers. When you come to chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, go to verse number 14 of that passage, friend. Numbers 14, verse 14. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that the Lord, that thou, Lord, art among this people. And thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time, and a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now thou wilt kill all this people as one man, them the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let thy power, or let the power of my Lord be great according as he has spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, saith, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And once again, Moses is crying to God, friend, you know what he's saying? He's saying, please, God, remember mercy. O God, thou art long-suffering, thou art of great mercy, thou art a God who forgivest iniquity and transgression. He says, verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. God, they don't deserve it. God, be merciful to them. Friends, as we look at our nation, there's not one of us can say our nation deserves God's mercy, for it doesn't. But we need God to intervene. Jeremiah chapter 10, a couple of verses there before we move on. Jeremiah chapter 10 says this, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Let me tell you, friend, if God rises up in his wrath, he'll ground the sinner to powder. The eternal destruction of a soul that falls into the anger and the wrath of God. Sinner, dear unsaved person in this service this morning, please listen to me. God is a God of love and he loves sinners, but let me tell you, God is a God of holiness. And a God of holiness is a God of justice, and a God of justice is a God of wrath. And what wilt thou do when God rises up in his wrath to judge thee because of thy sin? It's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God.
Friend, we will only supplicate before the throne like Habakkuk did whenever we realize just exactly the appalling state of the age in which we live. And yet the truth of the matter is this, that many of God's children, they have not caught the vision of just how sinful this nation is and how sinful this age is in which we live, and even the sins among the people of God. And therefore there's no fear of God before their eyes. And when God's people do not have that fear of God, and when God's people are not broken before God, then they will not supplicate before the throne. He said, "Oh God, I heard thy voice." And he said, "Oh God, I heard thy speech." And he said, "Oh God, I was afraid." And what did he do in the light of it? He says, "Oh God, revive thy work." For he realized that only revival would bring survival. And we need to pray. Driven to our knees, when prompted by a genuine concern, broken by hearing, and confronted by the Word of God, concerned in our hearts concerning the work of God, and convinced in our souls concerning the wrath of God, we cry out like the one of old, "O Lord, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years." And yet the truth is this, that many of God's people are sleeping, not supplicating. Tell me, which one are you? Judgment's coming. Tell me. Are you concerned? Are you concerned? The wrath of God will break upon the lost. And even judgment will come and break upon our nation that has sinned against Him. And yet God's people are not broken. God's people could not be driven to the place of prayer. God's people are sleeping. We're concerned about business. More concerned about making money than the salvation of souls. Habakkuk's supplication. Secondly, Habakkuk's support. Because having offered the prayer, you'll notice as these verses here continue, right down to the verse number 16, from verse number 3 to verse number 16, we see here that Habakkuk considers to see and sees the outworking of God in the history of the nation in times past. He starts to think of what God has done in bygone days. He thinks about how God moved in days that are past, and he knew that whenever God has moved in the past, praise God, he can still move in the future. He was convinced in his soul. And he sees a God of greatness. And he sees a God of glory. And what he does, friend, as you look at these verses here, he sees, first of all, who God is, and then he sees what God has done. And you know, when you look at the nation around you, and you see so much sin and so much evil, and you see so much apostasy and abounding in every hand, friend, to be quite honest, many people give up and say, "Listen, there's no use. We can't win. We're just hastening on to judgment. And my friends, there's nothing God can do or what God will do." Let me tell you, Habakkuk, as he thinks about it, he catches a glimpse of who God is and what God has done, and recalls what God has done even in the past and where God has brought him from. He brought him out of Egypt. He brought him out of bondage. He brought them out of slavery. You know, there's a table here in the front of us. And the table there is a table of remembrance. And what do we remember as we sit around that table? We remember his death. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." And friend, as we think about it, and as Habakkuk thinks about God, listen, he knows that God stepped in days that were past, and God helped them yesterday, and praise God, he's able to help us today. He's the same God. He says, I am the Lord, and I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he thinks about it, I want you to notice, first of all, he considers God's majesty. Look at verse number 3. After he has supplicated, after Habakkuk has cried unto God, it says this, God came. God came. Oh, that God would come. See the word God there? It's Eloah. Jehovah. Eloah, the strong and the powerful one. It's the name that was used by Moses to portray God as the creator and the governor of the whole world. And here we find it says, God came from Teman unto the Holy One, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And what Habakkuk recalls here is this, that God came to Mount Sinai, and he brought the law, and in that he brought all the blessings that were bestowed upon the children of Israel. And he learns the lessons from the past. Just to show you that that's what that means, and that's what that's referring to, just keep your hand there. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in his hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. And so what he does here, he's recalling when God revealed himself and God came to Mount Sinai and he brought the law. And he learns the lessons of the past. Let us remember another mountain this morning. It's Mount Calvary. And there we see the display of God's grace. Man had broken the law of God and defied the God of heaven, but Christ came to fulfill the law in every jot and every tittle. And he come, my having broken that law as a sinful soul, friend, and God sent his Son to fulfill it. And in that fulfilling of the law and satisfaction of the law of God, God has provided for you and for me benefits, the benefits of salvation. And just as Habakkuk, as he thinks about the wrath of God, and then he starts to think about God and who God is and what God has done in the past, he starts to encourage himself in the majesty of God, friend. So you and I can look back and we can encourage ourselves. In dark days like this, God intervened before. In 1859, this land of ours was a land that was written by sin. It was a land that was written by apostasy. And God stepped in, and our fathers prayed. And just a handful of people interceded before the throne, but they meant business with God, just as Habakkuk meant business with God. And they cried out to God, just as Habakkuk did, oh God, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And there were a band of God's people, and they got on their knees before God, friend, and they believed that God could work, and that God could revive. And in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the wrath, God sent a gracious Holy Ghost, heaven sent revival. And friend, let me tell you, in a short period of time, over 100,000 people in this wee homeland of ours in Ulster was swept into the kingdom, gloriously saved, and God moved in a mighty revival. Now that's the God who He is. And friend, that's the God what He can still do. And that's the God that Habakkuk cried to. And notice what happened. His glory covered the heavens. And the earth was full of His praise. You know, it's good to know that that's the God that we trust in.
Do you know that nothing can harm me as God's child, friend? Only what God permits. Only what God allows. And I can find my refuge, and I can find my shelter, and I can find my support in Him.
Maybe there's some today in God's house and you're going through hard times.
Maybe it's hard times in home. Maybe it's hard times, friend, in body. And perhaps you cannot understand just what's happening in your life. Maybe you can't put the puzzle together. Let me tell you, friend, nothing can happen, God's child. Only what God in His sovereign purpose permits. Did you notice those words that we read in the book of Deuteronomy? Yea, the Lord, or He loved the people. All His saints are in thine hand. Do you realize that? You're in the hand of God. Your life is in the hand of God. My times are in my hands. The psalmist says, my God, I leave them there. And whether God give me long days or whether God give me short days, let me tell you this, my friends. My times are in God's hands. And as I think about the God who has delivered me in the past and God who has brought me through, I know whatever He plans and whatever He purposes, that He'll have the glory. He'll have the glory in all that He does. Because the glory of the Lord, listen, it says it covered the heavens and the earth was filled with His praise. We have a great God this morning. Verse 14 of chapter 2 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Oh, that God would grant that to be so. Oh, that God would send us a gracious movement of His Spirit. Oh, that God would bring a fear of God upon the hearts of the people. Oh, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. His brightness was as the light. What does that mean, friend? It means that so marvelous was His glory that the radiance was like the rising sun. You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We spend the night hours, friend, and the night can be very dark, can't it? The night at times can be very lonely and maybe just long for daybreak to come, but then the sun rises. You know what happens? The darkness disappears. And you know the Word of God tells me? The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in His wings. There's a better day coming. Further along, we know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. It says He had horns, verse 4, coming out of His hands. In other words, it was like rays, the rays of the sun. And coming out of the hands of the Savior, friend, it just seemed as if the light, just like horns or rays, were coming out of His hands. There was the hiding of His power. Before Him went the pestilence. And the burning coals went forth at His feet. The majesty of God. O Lord, my God,
When I, in awesome wonder, consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars. I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour, God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. God's majesty. God came. And then I leave you with this. God's might. Verse 6. God stood. He stood. And when God came in his might, friend, God stands. Notice what it says. And he measured the earth. Listen. With one glance. With one glance from the all-seeing eye of God, God stands, and with one glance of his all-seeing eye, God just surveys the nations. He measures the earth. Don't you think this world is out of control of God? Let me tell you, friend, God is fulfilling his plan and God is fulfilling his mercy, his purpose. And he surveys the nations. He measures the earth. And he drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. And the perpetual hills, they did bow. His ways are everlasting, and I saw the tent of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. So great is the might of God, friend, that when God stands and he measures the earth, see the word there in the margin, that's in fact, it says, he shakes the earth. He shakes it. He causes the old earth to reel. And so great is his might that the earth trembles and the mountains, they crumble. The mountains, the everlasting mountains, were scattered. And the perpetual hills, they just bow down before God. Friend, you see these mighty hills, they just bow before the might of God. But that reminds me that we have a mighty God. We have a God, friend, let me tell you. And even when it seems as if the pathway is dark and the journey's lonely, you remember this. Don't ever be afraid to go where God's leading. Because God will scatter the mountains. And God will drive asunder the nations. And God will shake the earth. And God will bow down the hills. Go with God. We sang the wee hymn this morning. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him. All the way. Will you, friend? Will you? Will you go with God? Will you go out from God's house, friend, to do the will of God this week? Will you go out to serve the Lord? Will you get on your knees before God and instead of being overcome with slumber and be overcome with the situation, get on your knees before God and supplicate before the throne and cry to God to intervene? And believe that he's a God of majesty and believe that he's a God of might. There is nothing too hard for God. Oh, may God help us to do exploits for him for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can meditate this morning who thou art. And we can look back over days that are past and years that are past and centuries that are past. And we can be encouraged as we see thine intervention. In the darkest moment, the Sun of Righteousness arising. The sun rising in the darkness, dispelling the darkness, and coming with healing in his wings. O God, manifest thy majesty this morning, and manifest thy power in the salvation of some precious soul. We bow before thee. We worship thee. How great thou art. O speak. Blessed, blessed, blessed Holy Spirit. Speak of Jesus to our hearts and glorify our Father in heaven. For Jesus' sake.